morning, everyone. It's good to be here. Sound a little bit today like we're all a little bit tired, and the heat will definitely do that. You know, I'm a little snuffed today myself. If you turn to the book of Habakkuk, and the only easy way I can tell you getting there is in the Old Testament. I'm supposed to talk today about Habakkuk and Zephaniah. Both prophets of the Lord, minor prophets that dealt with a similar time of judgment as far as the nation of Israel and her enemies. We're going to read a little bit, then discuss what we've read, and then go on and read the rest of the book. It's a very wonderful passage of the Word of God. I've enjoyed studying it. Everybody find it? Nope. It's Malcolm. We're waiting on Malcolm. All right. Habakkuk. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. My mother taught me an easy way to remember this name. It's an H and A and a B and a K and a U and a K. So you can try that sometime. The book of Habakkuk. And he prays to the Lord and he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are those who raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and justice doth never go forth, for the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore justice goeth forth perverted. Just pause there a moment and ask you to put yourself into Habakkuk's shoes here. He's looking about at the nation of Israel, his own people, and he sees violence, contention, strife, and he asks the Lord, how long is he going to put up with this? And sometimes I wonder if I would pray this prayer at all, if I even know anything of what Habakkuk entered into. He had such a love for the holiness of God and the perfection of God that he here raised the question, why are you letting your people get away with these things? And sometimes today, we who are the Lord's people can think we're getting away with things. But the Bible tells us not to be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So he prays this prayer. I wonder if we pray those kind of prayers. Lord, make us what we should be. No matter what it costs, make thy people what they should be. The New Testament tells us that judgment will begin first at the house of God, and then it goes out to the world. So Habakkuk here prays, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Sometimes when we pray, it seems like the Lord doesn't hear us. But he does. And we have to be patient, and we have to wait on him. Isaiah could say that those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles, they will run and not be weary, and they will walk and not faint. It's important for us to wait on him. Why dost thou show me iniquity? Self-will. And we've mentioned before Frank Sinatra saying, I did it my way. Well, that's the problem with men, is all men are seeking to do it their way and not the way that God has commanded us to be. And notice that this iniquity, this self-will, is amongst the Jews themselves, amongst God's chosen people. Self-will. And we have to ask ourselves today, are we like that? Are we doing what we want to do? Or are we doing what God has commanded us to do? So Habakkuk had this burden. He had a burden for his own people. The law is slack and justice doth never go forth. As we look out into the world today, we can honestly see that, can't we? It just doesn't seem like there's any justice in the world anymore. And we pray about these things. And it's good to hear about abortion just getting turned around a little bit. The Supreme Court. They didn't come out as strong as I thought they might. But it's good to hear that it's turning around a little bit. Maybe the voice of the Lord's people is accomplishing something. The law is slack, justice doth never go forth. For the wicked that compass about the righteous. It's the good people that seem to get hurt. It's the non-criminals that put bars over their windows and lock their doors, while the criminals go free, it seems. And Habakkuk lived in such a day, and his own people, the Jews, were acting like this. So the Lord answers his prayer in verse 5, and we'll read what he has to say. Behold among the nations, take a long look, behold, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. There's coming a day when something's going to happen, and even though I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, you're not going to believe it until you see it. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were led by Nebuchadnezzar. And we know about Nebuchadnezzar from Daniel. We'll look a little bit into Daniel considering the Chaldeans. That bitter, the Babylonians, and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. And listen how he describes them. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed from themselves. Basically, what he's saying is the Babylonians were a law unto themselves. Care less when any law existed in any nation. They went and established their own law. They were their own governors. Their horses are also swifter than the leopards. Their horses ran faster than leopards. And are more fierce than the evening wolves. We know how wolves come in the evening, kind of secretly, and grab their prey. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far, and they shall fly like the eagle that hasteth to eat. We know the eagle is way up there in the air, and he's got great vision, and he looks down, and he sees that small prey, and he just swoops down and gets the prey before they even know it. That's what the Lord's describing here. They shall come all for violence. The set of their faces is forward. In other words, they don't turn back. They just come, and they run right over you. And they could care less what happens. And they shall gather the captives of the sand. And they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing that his power unto his God. It was God that was enabling the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar's government, to override the Jews. It was God's judgment on his own people because of their own iniquity and not obeying his word to them, not obeying the law, and recognizing that God was who he said he was, and that they had to render to him his due. And because they didn't, God sent this nation that we've just described, what he described to us, into Israel to literally make them captive and serve them. And we know a little bit from the book of Daniel what kind of man Nebuchadnezzar and his son were, and how they treated the Lord's people. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar set up that image. Everyone's to bow. And only three men refused to bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were thrown in the fiery furnace as a result. Those are the type of men that God used to judge his own nation. God will judge us. And he'll use ungodly people to show us where we're wrong. How many times have we as Christians been at work and we failed and we maybe said something we shouldn't have said or we did something we shouldn't have done, and some unsaved person will go, you know, if that's the way Christians are, I'm never going to be one. He uses the unbeliever to challenge our own lives and make us what we should be. But notice Habakkuk's rest in his God. In verse 12, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Habakkuk knew that there were a few in Israel that still feared the name of the Lord. And he knew that even though it would seem like the whole nation was going to be destroyed by the Babylonians, he knew that God was going to watch over his own, those who were truly his, and those who recognized his lordship. He would watch over them. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. God is a wonderful father, and he has a very tender way of correcting us. And I'm just amazed in my life, looking back and just seeing how tender the Lord has been with me, even though I deserve a lot worse, and many of us do. And he says that thou art of pure eyes and to behold iniquity, behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Pure eyes. God cannot look on evil. We do. We look at evil things and we fill our minds with some of this garbage. And the Bible tells us to think on these things, to read the Word and study it, and to use our eyes for something good. To look, to be like the Lord. He cannot behold evil and canst not look on iniquity. Why lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devour the man that is more righteous than he? Here's Habakkuk, and he's still asking the Lord questions. He says, you're going to let the Chaldeans come in, and they're going to correct your people, the Jews. He said, but why do you allow them, these people that are so wicked, to treat your people, the Jews, that are better than they are, this way? They make them as a fish of the sea and as creeping things that have no ruler over them. The Babylonians were a lawless people. They did what they wanted to do. And yet God was using them to correct his people. And he will use those today as well to make us what we should be. They take up all of them with their hook. They catch them in the net and gather them in the drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. You know, we go fishing. We put a little bait. Sometimes you don't even need bait. You go out deep sea fishing, you just put a little lure out there and just drag along and you catch a fish. They're fooled. And these people were fooled the same way, and the Babylonians came and just dragged them all in, right into their net. That's what happens when the people of God are not what they should be. If our relationship is not right with the Lord, we're going to get dragged right down into the world's net. You know, someone has said, the world is here, Christians are here. The world goes down, and instead of Christians staying here, the Lord's people, they go right down with the world. And our attitudes of things change, even as the world's attitudes of things change. 15 years ago, we didn't hear about things like divorce and abortion. Now we hear about them, and it's so commonplace, it just kind of runs off your back like water off a duck. It just doesn't seem to bother us anymore. And that's what happens. Sin, it starts out light. That first time we go to do something wrong, we feel the Spirit telling us, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. And we go and do it. It's difficult the first time. Second time, a little less difficult. And pretty soon, it's not difficult at all. Disobey the Lord. And so we can be taken in very easily if we're not what we should be before Him. Shall they, therefore, empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? He asks the Lord these questions, and in chapter 2, verse 1, he says, I will stand upon my watch and set myself upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. What a wonderful position to be in, to ask the Lord a question and to just climb up, rise up above the world and just to wait for the Lord's answer. And sometimes we just can't wait. We got to do it our way, and we get into all sorts of trouble. You know, setting a watch is important. I remember when I was younger at Christmas time, my cousin and my brother and I wanted to find out who Santa Claus was. So we set a watch. I had the first watch, my brother had the second watch, and my cousin had the third watch, and we were going to catch Santa Claus at work, filling the stockings this year. Well, the first watch fell asleep, and we woke up the next morning at 8, and my cousin and my brother wanted to kill me. I fell asleep. Sometimes that's exactly what we do. We fall asleep at the switch. But Habakkuk, he said, I'm going to get up in the tower. I'm going to watch. And I'm going to wait for the Lord's answer. Do you remember? That's exactly what the Lord told his disciples when they were in the garden. That don't fall asleep. You watch and you pray. Lest you enter into temptation. And so we find Habakkuk here waiting in the tower to see what the Lord would say. And the Lord graciously answered him. The Lord answers us. Isn't it a marvelous thing? Each one of us in our own way can pray to Him, and we wait, and the Lord answers us individually. And sometimes He answers us collectively. It's a wonderful thing to see the Lord answer us. And notice what He says. Write the vision. I'm going to give you a vision, and I want you to write it down. And notice what else he says. Make it plain. Make it plain. Sometimes my dad, when he's speaking, uses big words, and we can't wait to get home. And we ask him, Dad, what was that word again? And he tells us, and we go get our dictionaries, the family, and bring it around and see what that word meant. Make it plain, the Lord says. And when we look at the Lord Jesus and his words, he used such simple words, plain words that even a child could understand. And God instructs Habakkuk, when you write this vision down, make it plain. Make it easy to be understood. That he may run that readeth it. When you read the word, you either let it go in one ear and out the other, or you react to what that word has said. Remember Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to warn them as God told him to do. But when he did, and he told them the message of the Lord, they reacted. And there was instant repentance. And here, the Lord tells him to write the word, make it plain, so that those who read it might react to it. They might respond to the word. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. God has appointments. He has times that he keeps. You know, and we look up into the heavens and we see the stars. Perfect timing. That's why we can get around planes and things, and we can get around with the compass, because God has perfect timing. How do we get to the moon? You know how we got to the moon? God's perfect timing. It can be counted on. It can be relied on. And God has appointments for us. And the Bible tells us that it's appointed one day for every man to die. And after this, the judgment. Every one of us will give an account of ourselves to God in our lives. Not for anybody else, for ourselves. But at the end, it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. There's a time coming, Habakkuk, and it's going to come and will not tarry. And what a beautiful prediction this is that God gave Habakkuk of his son, the Lord Jesus. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10 a moment. We'll see these exact same words. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 37. For yet a little while, and he, not it, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. It is he, it's not it, it's the Lord Jesus Christ that will come and will not tarry. That's the promise the Lord gives to Habakkuk. And he says in verse 4 that his soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. Here we had Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians, and they came and they did a work for God, these wicked men, in correcting the Jews, and yet they seemed to be running rampant too, doing what they wanted to do. And so Habakkuk asked the Lord, why are you letting them get away with this? When are you going to judge them? And the Lord says, I'm going to judge them. The Lord will judge them. And the reason that he will judge them is because his soul is lifted up. God hates